That's okay. All right, so I'm just going to talk a little bit about acid base and ABG. Some of you who rotated with me may have heard this already. For those of you who did, I'm sorry, there are a few slides, so maybe you won't be totally bored. What I did was there's a lot of mix-app questions in here and seat questions because I find that acid-base as a straight lecture can be very dry and you think you know it all until you start to see the questions and then you're like, wait, what's that equation again? Or what am I supposed to think of? Or what are the choices? So hopefully this will help as a way of doing it. So just briefly, I'm pulmonary, so I have to start with ABG when I talk about acid-base. So the ABG, as you guys all know, it's the pH, the CO2, the PO2, right? And it's done at room air. We're supposed to get the bubbles out so that the air doesn't mix with the blood, right? And there's something called leukocyte larceny, which is for patients like on the oncology service that have white counts of like 50,000, 40,000. Sometimes just letting them sit with the gas will consume oxygen. Okay, so here's questions, and I'm going to have questions all through here. I'm used to doing this in a smaller room. Do one of you feel like reading the question for me? I think it works better. Yvette, do you mind? Do you want to read the question? You'll read the question. Okay, we'll just go around, okay? And I'll try not to flip till everyone has an answer. You don't have to tell me, but as long as you have one in your mind.
Question number one. 72-year-old male, 55 years older, presents with dyspnea and symptoms consistent with chronic bronchitis. His sad PO2 pH is still to be a pulse oximeter is 95%. However, an ABG via pulse oximeter reveals PCO2 of 54, PO2 of 65, and a SAT of 86. According to a standard hemoglobin dissociation curve, the SAT should be more than 90%. Which explains the discrepancy between his PO2 and his SAT?
Okay. Anybody want to call out an answer? Feel free. Just so I know you're all awake and thinking.
A.
A, okay, good. Anybody else? Oh, come on, you don't all agree. I know that. What? No? Don't want to share? Can I flip? Does everyone have something in their mind at least? D? E, okay. All right, so the answer is B. So he has carboxyhemoglobinemia. Classically, the carboxyhemoglobinemia patients are the ones who come in with a good pulse ox in the ER from a smoke inhalation event, and you're not supposed to be reassured by the pulse ox, and you have to send the blood gas by co-oximetry, although sometimes it can be lower. So the pulse ox doesn't distinguish, the norm, regular pulse oximetry doesn't distinguish oxygenated hemoglobin from carboxy or methemoglobin, right? The co-oximeter can. And in this patient, he's a heavy smoker apparently, so his carboxyhemoglobin was high. So the standard oximetry curve would give a false sense of security. And you have to do the co-oximetry blood gas if you really need to know what it is. In terms of the other ones, the leukocyte larceny, the oxygen, and the SpO2 would be the same. So usually a PO2 of more than 60 will give you a SAT of more than 90. Do 3-DPG shifts the left to the left, and as the temperature goes down, and this is all up there. Do you want me to read it? So let's just go on to the next question, okay? Does someone else want to read the question? This is a good one also.
Just
Okay, so the so I think you all see the blood gas looks kind of funny, right? 7, 3, 4, 3, 35, 90, SAT of 70%, and the question is, what do you do next? Repeat the blood gas, extubate the patient to non-rebreather, administer amyl nitrite by inhalation and then sodium thiosulfate IV, or switch the patient's antibiotic from Bactrim to pentamidine and give IV methylene blue. It's a big crowd. I can't see tell who's calling out the letters. If you could just hazard a guess. So it's a patient with PCP pneumonia who's has a low PaO2, gets intubated, is on Bactrim, is finally improving. We know it's PCP from the bronchoscopy, and now he's down to 40% and doing better. That looks like it came back with the blood gas. Sorry, did someone say E? There's no E. What? B? D. Okay, good. Anybody else? No?
A,
okay. Good. Anybody else? Any takers for B or C that want to admit it now? No? Okay, we'll flip. Okay, so the answer is D. Excellent. So the patient shouldn't be on Bactrim anymore. They have to switch them to pentamidine and give methylene blue. Does anyone know why now that they see the answer? Okay, so so his SAT declined despite an adequate PaO2. This is he's on a sulfa drug, right? He's on Bactrim. So I guess we're supposed to understand that he's getting now methemoglobinemia. Classically, methemoglobin, the SAT is lower than the PO2, at least from what's expected, okay? And you have to treat him with methylene blue and switching the Bactrim, right? Okay, excellent. All right, so here's another question. I lost my reader. Thank you. Are normal, I think.
Are normal. Abdomen soft with lower abdominal disease heaviness. And the patient vomited twice during the exam. Pelvic showed bilateral and technical tenderness. White counts 19 with 9% poly. She received gradual cyclomorphine and Reglan and was sent for CT at the pelvic.
Okay, great. So I'll flip to the answers, and then I'll go back to the beginning of the question so you guys can think about it. So how do we treat this? Whatever caused this acute decompensation? High-dose steroids, broad-spectrum antibiotics, surgery, sodium nitrate and sodium thiosulfate, or methylene blue? So just going back, it's a lady with PID, right? She's coming in with a white count, with fever, nausea, vomiting. She gets Flagyl, Cipro, morphine, and Reglan, and then she goes down for CAT scan. And down in CAT scan, she's short of breath, she's cyanotic, and the blood gas is 7, 3, 6, 35, 240 with a SAT of 85%. So then what do we do? Any takers? Any guesses? Anybody want A? Maybe. Okay, good. B? Very quiet group. I'm hoping you all have something in your mind and you don't need me to flip back again. Antibiotics? Anybody just think it's her infection? Somebody said no. I don't know about everybody else. Surgery? Okay. Sodium nitrite. I got a head nod at least. Yes. Methylene blue. Anybody? I got an A. Okay. I'm assuming everybody has something in their mind. Can I flip to the answer? Okay. Speak up if you don't want me to. So the answer is E. Methylene blue. What do I mean? What is it? It's the antidote. So, methylene blue. He has this one again, methemoglobinemia. It's two in a row. Not expected, but two in a row. Okay. From the Reglan. From the Reglan. Okay. You treat with methylene blue. Okay. Not super common, but you have to think of it. We usually, like, if anyone does, like, the conscious sedation exams, the lidocaine can do it, so you have to know that also, like, if you're in the middle of a procedure. Okay. So methemoglobin, again, is what's causing the pulse ox to look way different from the blood gas, and that's why she's looking so terrible and cyanotic, right? So many drugs are oxidants and can do this, chloroquine, dapsone, local anesthetics, sulfonamides, right? High levels of methylene blue, it's the brown blood. I think they had this once on ER. Okay, and the SAD is not accurate. Okay, you treat for methemoglobinemia with methylene blue, right? And so if it's really high, it can be very difficult. All right, so she has PID. She does need antibiotics. Sodium nitrite and thiosulfate are antidotes for cyanide poisoning, which we don't think she has, right? Okay, so just a little bit of the yeah slides. Try to bear with me, and I'll come back to questions shortly, okay? So the blood gas, I have to do this just because I'm pulmonary, so I have to talk a little bit about the alveolar blood gas equation. So it's the alveolar arterial oxygen gradient, right? It's how much oxygen they're inspiring, barometric pressure, pressure of oxygen, less the PaO CO2 over 0.8, right? Minus the PaO2. I still remember, I don't know, I was on pulmonary consults at Columbia, and one week the neuro critical care fellow suddenly found this equation and realized he could calculate the gradients of all the patients in the unit on the vents, and they all had gradients, so they all needed consults. It was really a nightmare. But but anyways, so a normal A gradient obviously depends on a lot of different things, but you can calculate it in it. So this is just hopefully a simple question. Increased A gradient can be caused by hypoventilation, hyperventilation, pulmonary embolus, ANC, BNC. I got a C, I got a D. Excellent. Anybody else? No? Can I flip? Say no if you don't want me to flip, otherwise I'm going to go on. Flip, okay. So the answer is P. You all should remember this from medical school, hopefully. So hypoventilation decreases it proportionally. Hyperventilation decreases the CO2, right? And VQ mismatch is the only one that should do both. Okay, so here's an acid-base question for you guys. We all get venous blood gases from the ER all the time, right? So here's the question. In a hemodynamically stable patient on room air with normal blood pressure and chest x-ray, which of the following arterial and venous blood gases come from the same patient? Okay, just to warn you, the last number is bicarb. Okay, you're used to seeing O2 there or whatever, it's bicarb. So it's PHCO2 bicarb, PHCO2 bicarb. So I'll read them out just while you're reading them to yourself quietly and thinking, okay? So 7440/24, 7440/24, so the same, right? 7252/23/10, 7292/29. So the pH went up and the CO2 went up and the bicarb went a little down. Okay, I have 7355/28, 7265/33. So now the pH is going down, the CO2 is going up, and the bicarb is going up. And then D, 7394/24/23, 7355/50/24. Again, pH is going down, CO2 is going up, and the bicarb is going up. D. And then E is 7424/24, 7373/26. Are you all going to go with the group now and say D? No one's going to go out on a limb? You sure? The group is rarely right in this talk. I'm not telling you that you're wrong this time, but in general, feel free to go out on a limb. What? All the money on D. All the money on D, she says. Okay, are we ready to flip? Yeah? Okay, go group. Just want to encourage you all to speak up. Okay. Usually at least somebody wants E, but that's okay. So So what happened here? So you picked this one, right, where the pH went down and the CO2 went up. That makes sense, right? And the bicarb went up just a teeny weeny bit. So that's correct. So the mean difference between arterial and venous pH is 0.036, so less than 0.05. So when the ER says you don't really need an arterial blood gas to know the pH, they're not completely wrong, for sure. CO2 is 6, and bicarb is 1.5. So venous pH should be lower, CO2 higher. Bicarb is only slightly higher. And if you're only following a trend and the patient is otherwise stable, you can certainly follow venous blood gases. Okay. So option A is the same, option B is wrong, option C, the change is too great, and option E makes no sense. Usually we get someone who goes for E, even though it makes no sense, because the directions are all right. Okay, someone else has to read this. It's too long, and I go too fast. Anybody? Are we in the third row? Yes, the second row? Thank you. Okay. Yeah, please.
She's in moderate distress using 7 months to be upright. She can speak only 2-3 words at a time. There's this current expert wheezing, decreased air movement, EMG, osteomeria, 7.6, 38, 78. This patient's blood being acute, athlete's strength is his.
Does anyone want me to go back to the first slide, just briefly? I'm going to flip back just for a second, okay? So she's 22, asthmatic, she's pregnant, 34 weeks. In the second trimester, she got started on IV steroids, and now she's having an exacerbation, right? All right. She should be intubated, okay. Unfortunately, that's not what they're asking. But that is probably true. Metabolic alkalosis, metabolic acidosis, respiratory acidosis, respiratory alkalosis, no acid-base disturbance. Oh, come on, you're all very smart. I know you have an opinion. Please. C, excellent. Anybody else? I'm sorry? C or? A lot of discussion. Are we ready to flip? Yes? Okay. All right, so the answer is C, very good, respiratory acidosis. The reason you guys were taking so long is what? Why? What? Her CO2 is normal.
Yeah.
Right, and but her pH is low. So what? Why is that? It's because she's pregnant.
Oh.
Right. Okay. So she is in ventilatory failure. She is becoming acidotic, right? Usually by the time they're compensating, they're in big trouble, right? There are changes. They should have a respiratory alkalosis, right? Okay. So there are changes in pregnancy, which we have to remember, right? When they're pregnant, they have increased oxygen consumption. They have progesterone, right? And they usually are chronically hyperventilating, so their baseline CO2s are lower, okay? And so they have an increase in CO2 production, and so that's why. All right, so PCO2 is usually lower in pregnancy, 27 to 30. So she's already retaining for a pregnant person, okay? All right, so this patient has an increased gland from her asthma, et cetera. I think it's especially in the second and third trimester, yeah. Okay, so then here comes the yeah slides. Try not to fall asleep, and the questions are coming again soon, okay? So I think you all know this. So metabolic acidosis, right? Decreased bicarb, decreased pH from a high CO2, right? and they blow off the acid, right? So they have a decreased CO2. Metabolic alkalosis, they have a high bicarb, their pH is up, and they compensate by holding on to acid, right? Increased CO2. Respiratory acidosis, they have increased PaCO2, they have a decreased pH, and they compensate by holding on to base. Respiratory alkalosis, they are, for whatever reason, blowing off CO2, their pH is high, and they compensate by excreting bicarb, right? Okay. You all know this. I actually found this a very nice way to look at acid-base questions, but everybody has their thing. So acid-base, you have to decide, are they acidemic or the alkalemic? If it's mixed, the pH might be normal, but don't forget to look at the bicarb, the CO2, and the anion gap. Is the primary disturbance metabolic or respiratory? Does the CO2 go in the direction of the change? And is there appropriate compensation? And then make sure to see if there's an anion gap, and if there's an anion gap, you might want to look for a delta gap. Okay. All right. So these are just some of the compensation formulas. I'm not going to quiz you on them right now at all, okay? But you should all know what they are, hopefully. Okay, so here's another question. Anybody want to read for me, please? Thank you. Okay. What? Okay, so is this inconsistent and uninterpretable? Is this acute respiratory acidosis, chronic respiratory acidosis, acute on chronic, acute respiratory acidosis with anion gap acidosis?
Yeah.
D. Yeah? Okay, great. Okie dokie. All right, so you all got this one because we all know this lady. We've all met her many times. Okay. Right, so the first step is to check, and basically for her CO2 of 80, her pH should be like 7.0. So she must be used to living at a CO2 of 60 or 70. But she still has an acute on chronic. Okay. All right, in normal respiratory acidosis, the pH goes down 0.08 for every 10 in CO2. All right, so she's up by 40, so she should be down by 0.32. All right, and with chronic, it's 0.03 for every 10. And this is acute and chronic. All right, and the anion gap in this case is 10 and normal is around 12. So this patient doesn't have an anion gap. All right, so just briefly, just to go through the different kinds of acid-base problems. So respiratory acidosis, generally ineffective respiration or more CO2 than you can get rid of being produced. So airway obstruction, respiratory center depression, neuromuscular disease, things like that, right? Respiratory alkalosis or hyperventilation, usually things like pain, hypoxemic drive, right? Other things can do this. Metabolic alkalosis are chloride depleted and chloride expanded. Etiologies are usually GI or renal most often, right? Hypovolemic chloride depleted are GI losses, renal losses, diuretics. Some other things can do it are up there. Hypervolemic metabolic alkalosis are bicarb losses from acid loss from renal, excess steroids, and some other things that are up there for those who are interested. Okay, metabolic acidosis, I think you all know this, right? Excess acid is being made, or you're not able to get rid of your decreased of extracellular bicarb, right? We compensate with increased respirations. Okay. And etiologies are usually endogenous acids or exogenous acids, right? And it's divided into the anion gap and the non-anion gap. I think you all know how to calculate the anion gap, but I'll put it up there anyways. So sodium take away the chloride, take away the bicarb, right? It increases with decreased unmeasured cations, right? And it can change a little bit for patients who have very low albumin. A normal anion gap is a little lower. And I have my piles. Everybody has their mnemonic. So for anion gap acidosis, you're thinking of things like methanol, uremia, DKA, INH, lactic acidosis, and other things, right? So normal anion gap ones are almost always kidney or gut losses, diarrhea, fistulas, RTAs, right? Okay, and then the delta gap, most of you probably know this, but for those of you who haven't had to do this yet on renal rounds or whatever, so if there's an abnormal anion gap, you can check for a triple disorder. So in an uncomplicated anion gap, however much the anion gap is, the bicarb should decrease by that same amount. And if that's not the case, then there's a mixed disorder. So however far the anion gap is from 12, that's how far the bicarb should be from 24. Some people do it as a ratio. I learned to do it as a difference. Obviously, they're both correct. So a positive delta gap is simultaneous metabolic alkalosis or respiratory acidosis. A negative gap is usually a normal anion gap acidosis and a chronic respiratory alk. But usually you can tell from the clinical scenario. And I think for your level, certainly just to know that there's a triple disorder is what's going to be asked of you. Okay, so just to go back, and then I think there's questions after this. So acid-base. So what do you do when you get an acid-base question? You just decide first, are they acidemic? Are they alkalemic? Make sure to look at the pH, bicarb, CO2, and anion gap. All right? You look at the CO2 to see if it explains it, right? Is there appropriate compensation? Is there an anion gap? And if so, just make sure you're not missing a delta gap. All right. Question. Somebody go. Oh, sorry. Oh, I just ruined it, and I can't get rid of it. Oh, sorry. Okay. You didn't see it. You can pretend. Sorry. I'm so sorry. This desk is difficult. So you all know the answer. So we'll do it together, okay? Because you all saw the answer. All right. So he's 38. He's got renal failure. He's nauseous. He's anorexic. He doesn't want to be dialyzed, of course. And now he's totally fluid overloaded. Okay, and now we have an anion gap of what? Sodium is 135, chloride is 80, and bicarb is 24. So the anion gap is? The anion gap is? 31. Fantastic. Okay. And his bicarb is 24, right? So is that 31 away from 24? No, not even close. So there's a triple disorder here, right? Because there's a delta gap and there's an anion gap. So the answer is the only one that has two that would be probably possible physiologically is C, right? He has a metabolic acidosis and a metabolic alkalosis. Why does he have a metabolic acidosis? Renal failure, excellent. And why does he have a metabolic alkalosis? Vomiting, excellent. Okay, so you got it. There's a whole bunch of different ways of getting it. Sorry I gave you the answer. Okay. See how much harder it is to think about the question once you know the answer? So, all right, so the point is just to notice that there's a huge anion gap with a normal bicarb. So there's a mixed disorder. You expect him to have an anion gap acidosis from his renal failure. His bicarb should be very low, like 5. And any increase in anion gap from 12 should decrease the bicarb by the same number, right? So 31 take away 12 is 19. Thank you. All right, so due to the nausea vomiting, there's no evidence of respiratory alkalosis. Very rare to see both respiratory and alkalosis and acidosis. Okay, hopefully you didn't see the answer to this one. Who's next? What is the acid-base disorder? I'll just show you the answers, and then we'll go back to the numbers. So the choices are A, inconsistent, uninterpretable data, chronic respiratory alkalosis, acute and chronic respiratory alkalosis and anion gap acidosis, respiratory alkalosis, anion gap acidosis, and metabolic alkalosis. Do you guys want to do this together or alone? So which one do you want? D? Okay, anybody else? Everybody wants D? Is that right? Okay. Okay, so someone said triple disorder, so you knew that much, but... So let's just, so there's an anion gap here, right? 96, 102, an anion gap of 32, right? So there's an anion gap at metabolic acidosis, right? And something else is driving the bicarb back up, correct? Okay, because then it should be 31 take away 12 is 19, so the bicarb should be much lower than that. And this 24 take away 16 is 8. That doesn't make up for that 19 difference, right? So, and the blood gas shows that they have a respiratory alkalosis as well. Probably. So what does she have? She has, the only one with 3 is actually E, right? There's an anion gap acidosis. There's another metabolic alkalosis driving up the bicarb. And she also has a respiratory alkalosis. Okay. Does anyone know why? Vomiting. Okay, that's one of them. All right. So... Right, the primary abnormality is a respiratory alkalosis that's causing her pH abnormality right now. There's a metabolic, right, the anion gap is 33. And so there's a mixed disorder, right? The normal delta gap is up to 6 plus minus, right? So there's another metabolic alkalosis from her chronic steroid use and her vomiting. Okay, so then we have another. Is that okay? Is everyone okay with that one? All right. Who wants to read this? This is a short one. Okay, so you have an early salicylate overdose, right? She's tachypneic, she's tachycardic, she's borderline febrile, her pressure's a little low, and she's an old lady with type 2 diabetes and arthritis and peripheral neuropathy. Okay. Just call out a couple of letters and I'll flip, so I know you guys are ready. I heard an E and a D, I think. Anybody else? I really didn't make up any of these questions. What? B? Okay. Anybody for A or C? A lot of people are keeping it close to the chest. Okay. No? All right. So the answer is A. Let's see if we can figure out why. So she has a mixed anion gap acidosis with respiratory alkalosis with volume depletion. Early salicylate overdose, central hyperventilation, respiratory alkalosis, and then later renal compensation. Okay? All right. I'm not going to go through all of these in the interest of time. All right. Who wants to read the next one?
Many of your college students is only by the 32 brothers to the ER. He was on arousal. No one was able to speak until the target
Okay. A is methanol, B is toluene, C is ethylene glycol, D is ethanol, and E is isopropanol. I have a C already.
A.
A. Oh, no A? Okay. Not C.
You've locked it in?
All right. Does anyone want to look at the numbers another time, or are you all... You've got, you just, whatever the hint is that gave it away, you don't need the numbers? No? Okay. So the answer is A. Very good. I think that whole retinal description with the clean urine was the giveaway there. If you took the time to look at it, does he have an anion gap? Yeah. So he had a high anion gap and a high osmolal gap. So that's usually methanol or ethylene glycol, right? And the optic nerve makes the methanol the one. The ethylene glycol is the urine crystals, right? The osmolal gap is the calculated, take away the measured, right? And the measured is 2 times the sodium, glucose over 18, B1 over 2.8. And you can even correct for the alcohol if you want. And let's see. So methanol is the optic nerve injury, retinal edema, right? Loss of reflex, you treat with alcohol or famotidine. Ethylene glycol does this too, but it has oxalate crystalluria, not optic nerve injury. Ethanol wouldn't explain the eye findings. Isopropanolol doesn't cause an anion gap acidosis, and the toluene also. Okay. So this is just from one of those little books. The osmolal gap with an anion gap is ethylene glycol or methanol. There are some other things that can do it, formaldehyde, end-stage renal paraldehyde, alcoholic ketoacidosis. If there's no acidosis, it's isopropyl or diethylene glycol or mannitol. Okay, so just again, acid-base, don't forget to check for the anion gaps. It's when the pH is normal and the bicarb and the CO2 are normal. Is it primary, respiratory, or metabolic? Is there compensation? And if there's an anion gap, try to think of a delta gap as well. Okay? And that's it. Okay, I hope that was useful.
Thank you.
Sure.